Hi, ladies. My name is Glenda Kaiser, and it's a blessing to be here with you tonight. And I'm so glad a few more of you showed up when I first sat down and Katie first stood up here. Aren't you, Katie? That's good. So, but I just always admire you for your stamina and for your just your pressing in and being faithful and coming out in the evening. And after most of you, how many of you work today? So raise your hand. Okay, the majority of you work today. Either you worked at a company or a business, or you worked at home. I'm sure that nobody napped all day long, I don't think. Did you? Anybody take a nap all day long? Oh, one person. Oh, two people.
At work.
Oh, boy. Okay, this is true confession time. Well, tonight is the night we're going to talk about Jacob. And I'm blessed again to be here with you. And as you know, most of you know, I do Friday mornings with Cheryl. And so I always love coming, though, to be a part of what God's doing here on Tuesday night. So did you realize there's 13 chapters written about Jacob? You didn't have near that many in your lesson. There was no way we could cover the whole life of Jacob in one lesson. Jacob's name appears 356 times in Scripture. I was amazed when I looked up that information. The phrase, the God of Jacob, occurs 66 times in the Bible. I think there's a special message for us through the life of Jacob. And so I want to just highlight some things tonight, because if you're new in Bible study and maybe you've not read the entire book of Genesis, well, I'm not encouraging you this weekend to read the entire book of Genesis, but I do encourage you to read the whole story of Jacob. It is fascinating. Of course, we've talked about Abraham and Isaac, and now here we are with Jacob. So let's pray and see what the Lord might want to say to you and to me tonight from his word. Father, I just thank you for drawing us here tonight. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have called us your own and you have spoken to us and you continue to speak to us through your holy written word, Lord. And we thank you for the lessons we can glean and gain as we look at the lives of the men and the women in the lineage of Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you'd keep us alert, Lord, and I pray that your Spirit would anoint my lips, Lord, and that I would only say and speak those things that are important for these ladies to hear tonight. And we pray your Spirit would make application in our own lives, Lord, and that we would leave here tonight encouraged. And, Father, what we don't have time for in this message, I pray that in the discussion groups, other nuggets, other truths, other underscore whatever you have in mind for each and every woman here tonight. So we thank you again for the opportunity to gather, and we welcome you, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to do and have your way among us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start by asking a series of questions. Have you ever told a lie? I have. Have you ever deceived anyone? I have. Have you ever schemed or tried to fulfill through your own methods a promise from God? Yes, I have. Have you ever tried to bargain with God? I have. Have you ever heard from God and then kept on going with your own plans? I have. Have you ever compromised your walk with the Lord? I have. Have you ever struggled or fought, like wrestled with the Lord? I have. We're beginning to see, aren't we, how much we are like Jacob, or how similar our lives are with his. Have you ever surrendered to God, feeling that you've finally come to an end of yourself, and the next thing you know, you've fallen back into that same old pattern of self-reliance? I have. Have you ever drifted away from God when you had been obedient to him, so you find that somewhere along the line you've left your first love? I have. Have you ever reaped what you've sown in your flesh? Well, I think we could all raise our hands and say, I have. And God is faithful to teach us through those sowing and reaping lessons. Have you ever come to a place of repentance, acknowledging your total failure to obey God? Well, I've been there too. Have you cried out to him for forgiveness and recommitted your life to him? Lord, I'm going to follow you. I surrender to you. Your plan is best. I give you my mind. I give you my will. I give you my heart. I have. Have you yielded in like utter abandonment and complete obedience, yet recognizing the only way you can obey, the only way you can do this is by the power of his Spirit living in you and his divine strength? Well, I think we could all probably say, yes, I have. Then you and I can identify with Jacob and with the story of his life. This is Jacob's life experience. You probably recognize it as I was naming off those questions. This is my life experience. We're all so alike. We're all sinners saved by grace. My name could be Jacob. It is Glenda, but God should say, Glenda, you are much like Jacob. You have sinned in the same ways that Jacob sinned. Your name could be Jacob. But again and again in Scripture, God seems to link the believer with Jacob and Jacob's God. Number one, I want to share with you Psalm 46, 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Okay, there we are. We're linked with the God of Jacob. And so the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts was with Jacob. The God of Jacob was with Jacob. But the God of Jacob is our God. Psalm 146, 5 says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Isn't it? I mean, think about it. And as you go through the Psalms, as you read through the Scriptures, see how many places where you can determine that God has linked you and me, and really every believer, with the God of Jacob. Maybe someone right in the hearing of this message right now is stuck somewhere in the life experience of Jacob. We all go down that path, and the path we don't do it successfully and without error, without failure, without fault, as we walk with the Lord. And we're going to talk in a few minutes. We're looking at Jacob right now. But in a few moments, I want us to take a look at God and what God did for Jacob. Listen to the good news from the Word of God that God spoke concerning Jacob. Listen to God's call from Isaiah 41, 8 through 10, and this is from the New Living Translation. But as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, here's God speaking, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant. For I have called you and will not throw you away. How about that? Isn't that encouraging? I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. A familiar verse. But think of it in the terms of God dealing with Jacob and God's dealings with us. He goes on in verses 13 and 14. For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord, your God. And I say to you, don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. Though you are a lowly worm, O Jacob, don't be afraid. People of Israel, for I will help you. I am the Lord, your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. What comforting words, what reassuring words that God has promised to call us back to himself. He went after Jacob. He comes after us. He says right in this passage, he calls Jacob his servant. He calls Jacob his chosen one. He calls him to be, not to be afraid because he was with him. So let's think for a moment again, and a little expanding here, on God's dealings with Jacob. There is so much we can learn about God as well as what we can learn about Jacob from Jacob's life story. So I'm going to run through a few things, and then I encourage you, this is not going to be exhaustive. So just as a little devotional type challenge, when you are studying, when you go back through, perhaps you go back through your lesson, look for the similarities between God's dealings with Jacob and his dealings with you and me. Because what God did for Jacob, he wants to do the same things for you and for me. Here we go. Even though Jacob was a liar, a deceiver, a schemer, we read that God says, I love Jacob. Malachi 2:2, and he says it in other places. God declares his love for Jacob in spite of Jacob. Even though Jacob was headstrong, willful, and stubborn, God said, I chose Jacob. That's in Psalm 135, verse 4. I'm going to read that one to you. For the Lord chose Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Think of it. Now think of the New Testament parallels. God said he chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us to be, what is it, 1 Peter? A special treasure. Think of the similarities. Jeremiah 29:11. You could probably, most of you, say that verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord's plans for a future and a hope. Not for plans for evil, but plans for good, for a future and a hope. God had a plan for Jacob. Even though Jacob had many character flaws, God said in Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. Almost makes me cry to think about myself. Before I was born, God chose me. The holy, righteous, pure, loving Creator God chose me, and he formed me in my mother's womb. And he didn't just do that for me. Everyone in this room, within the sound of my voice, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And God is actually the one who formed you, we learn from Psalm 139. Before you were born, God says to you, to me tonight, I set you apart for whatever plan he has in mind. Now, we know that Jacob did have a spiritual desire from the beginning. He wanted and desired the covenant blessing of his father. He wanted this spiritual inheritance. He went about getting it all the wrong ways, as we well know. And yet God saw Jacob's heart. He saw that spiritual desire. Yet in spite of being a rascal, God called Jacob his servant. In Isaiah 44:1-2, and in other places, we find those words. Even though Jacob was disobedient and drifted away from God, in Isaiah 43:1, this is what God said. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute, and I want us to think about that verse. Write your name in that verse. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Denise, and he who formed you, Mrs. Gonzalez, fear not, for I have redeemed you, Denise. I have called you by your name. You are mine. I'm going to go back again. But now, thus says the Lord, you who created you, Kathy, and he who formed you, O Kathy, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Thus says the Lord who created you, O Karen. He who formed you, O Karen, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Put your name in there. Put your name in there. Those words are for you. God is speaking to my heart, to your heart. you can know that he knows your name and that he calls you his own. You belong not to yourself, you belong to God because Jesus paid for you with his own precious blood. And that's not all. Listen, God was merciful to Jacob. We sang about that tonight. It's because of his mercy. Genesis 32:10, right in the passage we're reading. For again and again, God reassured and met Jacob. He pursued after Jacob, revealing himself to Jacob in new and wonderful ways throughout Jacob's life. You'll see a progression if you just study it more carefully. God blessed Jacob again and again. God is so gracious. It's because of his grace in so many ways. God blessed Jacob with his grace. We observe, as you went through your lesson, you observed God graciously gave Jacob his covenant blessing. He repeated the promises that he had given to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac. Jacob didn't deserve them. Of course, neither did Abraham, neither did Isaac, neither do we. That's God's grace. And the scripture tells us in the chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians, God has given you and me every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Let's start a list. Good time for Thanksgiving, right? To start a list of all those spiritual blessings as you read through those first couple of chapters of Ephesians and all the way through the scriptures, really. God also promised to be with Jacob and never leave him. Does that sound like a familiar New Testament verse? In Genesis 28:15, he says to Jacob, I will be with you wherever you go. I will never leave you, and I will bring you back to this land. God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Think about what God said about Jacob in Numbers 23:23, and this is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It will now be said about Jacob, what great things God has done. What great things has God done for you? What great things has God done for me? Again, let's work on a list this Thanksgiving and stop and thank God for the great things he has done. God was faithful to Jacob throughout his entire life. No matter what Jacob was doing, God was faithful. God sovereignly worked in Jacob's life, orchestrating and ruling over the circumstances and situations in Jacob's life. Our God is a sovereign God. He is sovereignly working out and orchestrating your life and my life in spite of the opposition, in spite of what man wants to do and bring against us, in spite of our own failures and weaknesses, in spite of our own rebellion and sometimes just lack of cooperation. God sovereignly works because God loves us. God loves you. God loves me. And because God is faithful, nothing or nobody could hinder God's plan for Jacob. Just take note of it. You're doing a discussion tonight. Take note. No one, nothing could hinder God's plan for Jacob and his progeny. This is so true for you and me. God even blessed Jacob in the land of his affliction, it says in Genesis 41:52. God answered Jacob in his distress, Psalm 146:5 says. God was so patient with Jacob. Is he patient with you? Is he patient with me? Yes, he is. And also, God broke Jacob's strong will. When Jacob realized he couldn't win against God, he surrendered and God touched him. When Jacob yielded and surrendered to God, God touched his thigh, leaving Jacob with a permanent limp. He had a permanent disability in a sense. And at that time, God gave Jacob a new name. Israel is his new name, and it means governed or ruled by God. Someday in the future, this Revelation, I believe, tells us you and I are going to get a new name. God has a new name for you and a new name for me. So for the rest of Jacob's life, God would graciously remind him of his deficiency through his handicap. It was a constant reminder of God's rule and Jacob's dependence upon his God. God also delivered Jacob from the wrath of Laban and Esau, the brother who hated him and had sworn to kill him. God intervened on his behalf. God delivered him from his enemies. How many scriptures can you think of where God says he is our deliverer? He's going to redeem us. He's already redeemed us from Satan's power, Satan's dominion and domain. He's delivered us from our enemies, and he did that for Jacob. I like to think sometimes of the proverb that says, God, when you make your ways pleasing to God, he makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. So God restrained Laban, and he restrained Esau. He changed Esau's heart. Then when Jacob stopped without complete obedience, God called him back to Bethel. But when he stopped in Shechem, he got in a big-time trouble there, but God wasn't finished. God brought his backslidden son, Jacob, back to Bethel. Again, God met him and spoke to him and reached out to him and forgave him. God would not let go of Jacob. Does that encourage you? God never gave up on him. He never lets go. We used to sing that chorus. And God will never give up nor let go of you or me. God taught Jacob so many lessons, spiritual lessons on faith and surrender and obedience. God taught Jacob many lessons about himself as well, God's character. During his life, as God was teaching him, Jacob developed a deeper relationship with God and gained greater understanding of who God was, as evidenced by the titles he used when he blessed his son Joseph. He used the term, the mighty God of Jacob, the shepherd, the stone of Israel, the God of your father, the Almighty. Remember, God revealed himself as El Shaddai to Jacob. Jacob's faith grew, for we read in Hebrews 11:21, by faith, when Jacob was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. God taught Jacob how to worship. Listen to Jacob at the end of his 147 years of life from Genesis 48:15. Jacob said, "The angel of the Lord redeemed me from all evil," not just some, not just most. "The Lord redeemed me from all evil." That was Jacob's testimony at the end of his life. Jacob acknowledged God's faithfulness and his gracious provision and protection all throughout his life. We can discover that through the testimony of the occasion when he blessed Joseph's sons. Add that to your list. I don't have that in my notes. God protected Jacob. God protects you and me. God shepherded Jacob. He led him. He guided him. He took him the 500-mile journey early on in his experience when he fled from his brother's anger. Jacob declared that he met God face to face. One day soon, you and I will see God face to face. Can you imagine? In conclusion, Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 8:11, I thought this was fascinating, "Many will recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." It leaves me breathless. One day, ladies, those of us who receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior will sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and, of course, our Jesus. Not only these men, these patriarchs, these famous men, we will sit down at the table with the New Testament saints, with Peter, with Paul, with James, those who gave their lives for Jesus. We will sit down at the table. So here we are tonight. What an anticipation we have for the future, but what a glorious power and presence we have with Jesus knowing that he's going to walk us through. Again, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for her help, whose hope is in the Lord, her God. Psalm 146, 5. Jesus is alive. Jesus is our living hope. Jacob is alive. Jacob is not dead. Abraham and Isaac, remember, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. If you've lost loved ones and they were believers, they are not dead. My husband is not dead. Sherry's dad is not dead. My parents are not dead. They are living right now with God. And someday we're going to sit down together at the table, at the kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. How awesome is that? We will sit at that table. Meanwhile, remember and rejoice that what God did for Jacob, he is no respecter of persons. He will do for you, and he is doing, and he will do, and he has done for you just what he's done for Jacob. And he, just remember, be encouraged. And so I trust that the Lord will minister to you as you reflect on these things and as you make those lists and as you kind of look back over Jacob's life and glean and ask God to show you those parallels between what God has done for Jacob, what he wants to do for you, what he promised he will do, and his faithfulness to complete it, because he will complete that good work that he began in you and in me. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for your promises to us. Lord, you have brought us into the lineage of Jesus Christ through faith in him and his finished work on the cross. We thank you for bringing Jacob in to the lineage of the Messiah. And Lord God, we thank you for the lessons we can learn about who you are and your faithfulness and your character. And then we can also have hope for ourselves, because Jacob was, he was a scoundrel. And yet you loved him, you chose him, you called him, your servant, Lord, and you kept going back and again, and you just kept working in Jacob's life until, Lord, he was mature. He was walking with you in obedience, and he knew you face to face. God, I just pray that tonight you'll encourage each one in this room, and that you love them. You have a plan for them, and no man can hinder the plan that you have. Lord, help us each to surrender. Lord, to come to an end of ourselves, that we can trust you to complete that which you've begun in each one of us. We give thanks for your faithfulness. We give thanks for your power and your grace and your mercy and the hope we have in our living Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.